Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you from the Blog Talk Radio studio in the heart of Hudson County. Ladies and gentlemen, you know it's always in Union City, New Jersey. Insider NJ proudly brings to you the three-time award-winning Politically Direct. I am the professor and New Jersey's premier journalist, Fernando Uribe. I certainly want to welcome you all here the 19th of February. Yes. We're still going strong in 2021. And, of course, I want to thank you all for listening from wherever and however you may be doing so throughout the Garden State and, of course, throughout all my friends in the USA. Now, you can write to the show's inbox at any time, folks. If you have a suggestion for a guest or a topic, I'd love to hear from you. So write to the show, politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. Now, don't forget to follow the show on Instagram at politicallydirectnj. And also follow me on my own Instagram at Professor Fernando Uribe. It's all one word again, at Professor Fernando Uribe. I know many of you enjoy my Instagram stories, whether it's about pro wrestling, politics, memes, inspirational quotes, whatever it is, politically incorrect humor, really inappropriate humor, whatever. I know many of you enjoy it. Brand new followers every day, tons of likes. So I must be doing something right. So again, I appreciate the love there. On Instagram, hit me up on Twitter as well, folks, at NoFilterUribe. Once again, that's all one word, at NoFilterUribe. And for all of you Facebook subscribers, please go to the official page for Politically Direct, like it up and tell your friends to do the same. And don't forget to check out Insider NJ, folks, again, as our program is brought to you by Insider NJ each and every week here on Blog Talk Radio. The best political coverage of what's going on in the state of New Jersey. Hey, folks, go to www.insidernj.com. Certainly, you can view it from any PC, Mac, smartphone, or tablet. Once you're on the main page, upper right-hand corner, you'll see the subscribe button. Hey, just click on it, and guess what? You're automatically enrolled, free of charge, in the morning intelligence briefing. So the reason that Insider NJ still has the best traffic in the state, and it's your go-to source for political news in New Jersey, it's because of all the hardworking men and women here on the Insider NJ team that I'm proud to be a part of. Certainly, it starts with our editor-in-chief, Max Pizarro. Not always a fan of his columns, you know, some opinions I'd rather could do without when it comes to Max, but he's an exceptional journalist and writer, so you definitely want to check out his columns. Also, check out Jay Lasser, again, another guy I really can't stand personally, but exceptional and talented writer. You know, very thought-provoking, to say the least. He's got some opinions, I could do without, and I'm sure he says the same about me, that's okay. But again, an exceptional writer. Also, Fred Snowflack as well, talented journalist. Alan Steinberg, who was just on the podcast last week. Alan drives me crazy sometimes with some of his columns, but he's definitely insightful and enjoyable to read. And, you know, I'm proud to announce that Last week's podcast with Alan Steinberg went very, very well. Very, very good responses and feedback. We'll be having Alan on a regular basis here on Politically Direct, at least once a month. So you definitely want to look forward to that. I think, you know, if you listened to last week's show, it was a good exchange with him. We don't agree on much, even though I think we kind of have some conservative leanings. I think I do more than Alan, but again, you can decide for yourself. But it was a good back and forth. It was civilized. It was, you know, very adult-like. It wasn't screaming over each other. It wasn't any name-calling. You know, we agreed to disagree on a lot of policy prescriptions last week that we talked about. But again, that's what journalists, you know, talented journalists can do. So I'm happy to say that Alan Steinberg will be joining me more regularly here on Politically Direct. So happy for that. And of course, folks, everyone else who contributes on Insider NJ, I'm proud to be a part of the Insider NJ team. Certainly, I can't thank the Graham family enough. Mike Graham, certainly, for his faith and support of this podcast, and certainly my boss, General Manager Peter Nelia, who I know I give some headaches to sometimes. I'm sure he gets a fair share of blowback from people who just don't like me and don't like what I have to say. That Insider gives me a platform to do it. But hey, again, I appreciate his patience and his support of the podcast. So again, folks, www.insidernj.com. You can't go wrong, obviously, with everything that's being covered there. They're an amazing, amazing news site. I would argue the best in the city of New Jersey. And again, don't forget to start and end your day with Insider NJ. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, the opinions and views expressed here and every week on Politically Direct are mine and mine alone. They do not represent those of Insider NJ, the management, the journalists, the staff, or our sponsors. So, folks, again, hope you all had a wonderful Valentine's Day weekend. Hopefully, gentlemen, you didn't spend too much on flowers and didn't go broke on presents. Ladies, hopefully you didn't go bankrupt either on spoiling your man. And for everybody else, hopefully you had a wonderful weekend with your partners and got to enjoy it as best as possible. Obviously, it was President's Day weekend, so a lot of you were off this past Monday. Hopefully you got to enjoy that as well. Not great weather, folks, here in New Jersey this week. Snow continues to be a burden for us. Not too much accumulation up here by me in Northeast Jersey, right in Hudson County, right across from Manhattan. But I don't know about you folks. I'm done with this. I can't wait for spring. Daylight savings time is just a couple weeks away, so that's exciting. And, again, I'm looking forward to warmer weather. Of course, I'm sure, listen, we'll bitch and moan during the summer when it's unbearably hot and it's crazy humid. We'll still bitch and moan about it. That's just what we do here in New Jersey, folks. When it's too cold, we want summer. When it's summer, hey, let's wait for fall. You know, that's just the way it is. But, again, I appreciate you making today's episode a part of your listening regimen. And certainly as we close out the week here, definitely want to just say, again, thank you. You know, as we just celebrated, you know, 3 years on the air here on Blog Talk Radio via Insider NJ. Again, you can check out recent episodes at insidernj.com/podcast. And you'll see all the recent episodes there. And certainly, again, I can't say enough about how thankful I am to my loyal audience. Right, to all of you that take the time to either listen live when the show's live on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. That's when it's normal time. But also, you know, the great stuff about technology. You can pre-record the podcast and it airs, obviously, online via, once again, insidernj.com/podcast. So I'm grateful for that. And, you know, again, I just say this. I just saw a notification again this week. I can't say enough about how grateful and humbled I am by Mr. Diego Maya and the Latino Spirit for yours truly being included in this year's Top 100 Latinos Index for the Latino Spirit. As you all know, I'm probably the least humble person you'll ever meet. So to be humbled like this, it takes a lot. So I can't say a lot. I can't say enough really about you know what they. What their, I guess, acknowledgement means to me this year. You know, I take pride in being one of the few Hispanic journalists in the city of New Jersey, folks, that's doing something like this. You know, anybody can write columns, and I'm not dismissing the significance of that. That's really old school, classical journalism. But, you know, social media and technology has really enabled us, every person really, to have a platform, you know, and to use the power of podcasting to have conversations, to get elected officials on, to get candidates on, to get activists on, right? To get newsworthy individuals on the program. So you know, I can't say enough about the Ladino spirit and really what it means to be on that top 100 list. Again, congratulations to everyone included this year. It's nice to be on the list in back-to-back years, obviously 2020 and 2021. Without a doubt, it just sort of emboldens me to keep working harder for you, my loyal listening audience, to keep bringing you a very reputable product every week online. And not just here, but obviously with my other, you know, programs in my media brand, right? Whether it's on Wednesday nights with Talkin' the Hudson, my award-winning podcast there, which is Hudson County-centric. And you can listen to, again, at www.blogtalkradio.com/Talkin' the Hudson. Certainly my studio program with Hudson Media Group, Talking Politics with Fernandia Uribe. I'm very grateful to them. And, of course, you know, I think the one that has taken off in just a short amount of time, Real Talk via Eyes on NJ, which you can watch live every Monday night at 7 p.m. And you can also check out the archives at www.eyesonnj.org/real-talk. Without a doubt, it is something that, you know, I am extremely grateful for. And I am, you know, without a doubt, extremely just, you know, again, I'm honored to get this recognition. And, you know, I've been spoiled in recent years with getting awards for my brand of journalism, whether it's, you know, excellence in broadcasting, excellence in talk radio, excellence in journalism here locally in Hudson County. I am, again, I'm floored about the success in just in such a short amount of time. And believe me, folks, I am extremely lucky to be where I'm at. I'm very blessed and fortunate. So I don't take that for granted. I don't take it for granted having such a wonderful audience like yourselves who take the time to tune in every week here, whether you watch it live on, you know, Thursday nights, listen live, excuse me, or you listen to the archives. You know, it says a lot about you, my audience, that you take the time and you believe in this program because not everybody does. And I think that a lot of people in New Jersey look at my podcast as, I've heard some horrible adjectives, toxic, vilifying, hateful, racist, bigoted, transphobic, xenophobic. I mean, I've heard some awful and blatantly inaccurate adjectives. But I've also heard informative, insightful, entertaining, wonderful, journalistic, brilliant. Those are adjectives I take to heart too. And you're not going to please everybody, folks, in this business, but what I try to do is just stay consistent, and that's what I try to do on this program, you know. And it's something that, to me, means a lot, you know, in terms of the efforts I put in. And believe it or not, folks, it's not a lot of work for me. People might think, wow, you know, you're really busy because of all you do with your media brand. And I do. I stay busy. It comes naturally. You know, I don't have to sit there and prep for hours upon end. You know, this is something that just comes sort of naturally to me. And I'm fortunate in that matter. You know, obviously having great guests is half the battle, right? Because you want to have great conversations with people. You want to have a dialogue and be civil about it, you know, and be adults. You know, we sort of live in this time of utter tribalism, I think, for many, many years now. I would argue maybe going back on like almost a full decade, right, since we've seen social media really explode, right? Actually, maybe almost 15 years, right? Because we've seen, you know, Facebook, you know, took shape in 2004, right? In that fall, we saw YouTube later that year, obviously, grow as a platform. We saw Twitter become, you know, mainstream in around 2011, 2012, then Instagram right around 2012, right? Snapchat, now we're seeing TikTok, obviously. So there's something new on social media, but it's also how you use it, you know, if you're trying to create a brand. So, again, you know, seems amazing. So, again, thank you to Mr. Diego Maya, the panel of judges, and the Latino Spirit for this year's inclusion of yours truly in the Latino Index Top 100 Latinos in New Jersey. Folks, as a reminder, again, the opinions viewed, obviously, and expressed here here and every week on Politically Direct or Mind and Mind Alone. They do not represent those of Insider NJ, the manager, the journalist, the staff, or our sponsors. Certainly, folks, part of the reason this show is successful is because of having wonderful guests. And this week is no exception. Folks, let me bring in here today a friend of the show, a guy who I highly respect. He's a very amiable public servant, and he's a guy who, let's be honest, works very hard in one of the bigger municipalities in Hudson County. People forget that it's in Hudson County, but he's a distinguished mayor of Kearny, New Jersey. Folks, Al Santos joins us today here on Politically Direct. Mr. Mayor, how are you?
I'm doing well, Fernando. How are you doing today?
I'm good. It's good to hear from you. It's great to have you on the show, Mr. Mayor. You're always a gentleman to come on when time permits for you. How are you and your family during this really difficult time?
We're getting through this. All families, there have been some family members who have been ill. Fortunately, in my immediate family, there's been no serious or severe illness. And we're trying to get through this as a community and as a county so that, we could bring these positive case numbers down. And they are starting to come down. And hopefully when vaccine supply opens up, we can vaccinate many, many more residents.
Absolutely. And I'm glad to hear about your family's well-being. And certainly, Mr. Mayor, let's get right to it, obviously. Kearny, New Jersey, wonderful town, very spacious, rather large. Most people don't forget that it's in Hudson County, but it consumes a considerable amount of land, and it's a very diverse community, and we'll get to that in a moment. But, you know, we're coming upon a year now, Mr. Mayor, in terms of the impact of COVID-19. Like every municipality, there have been challenges, there have been some obstacles and hurdles. What can you share with us about, again, as we're approaching the year anniversary already, some of the challenges you faced as the mayor and also your administration?
Well, in the beginning of the crisis, it really was every community for itself. It was everyone had to scramble. And we are one of the most regulated states in the country, and there's a rule and regulation just about for everything, but there wasn't for a pandemic. So we had to scramble for personal protective equipment for our employees, our first responders back in March and April, and had to, procure it and identify vendors. No other government at any level offered assistance. We had to procure our own testing for our employees and for the public by forming partnerships with medical providers who had access to tests. No level of government provided that assistance. We had to do this on our own. And really strong community outreach with local organizations to try to develop those practices, especially in houses of worship. Kearny, is a very diverse town, very family-oriented, very faith-based, it's certainly, getting word out to local community organizations, service organizations, and houses of worship was fundamental in trying to get the message out on social distancing and wearing masks and trying to protect yourselves, especially those who are vulnerable, such as seniors and underlying health conditions. So it is a challenge. And now more recently, the huge challenge has been lack of vaccine. And you said we are a large town, but we haven't received vaccine that's proportionate to our population in the county, and that's been very frustrating. We're hoping that next week that will open up and there will be more dosages, and early indications are that's what will happen. But to date, there's been very limited supply, not proportionate to our population, the supply that's been distributed in the area, which is very frustrating. It's very frustrating because one of the social vulnerability criteria for COVID transmission spread is the size of households. And this is a very interesting fact. The largest median household size in Hudson County is Kearny. When I looked at those statistics, because once it became clear that when you had multiple generations living in a household, and workers who work in the service industry and can't work from home. And Kearney is a diverse community of many immigrant populations. So both those two are checked off for many households. It could also explain why our numbers are, you know, higher, significantly higher per capita than, say, you know, a Hoboken. So it's some of the greatest great features of Kearney. It's family-based diversity also means that household sizes are larger than average, and that is once one family member is infected, often the other family members also become infected.
Well, Mr. Mayor, again, and you mentioned about the sheer size of Kearney. Again, for my audience that isn't familiar, I mean, you know, whenever you just look at it on a map, obviously, you know, you have what's west of 95 and what many would argue is a lot of suburban area, you know, in that part of Hudson County, what comprises Kearney. And then, of course, obviously, what's east of Route 95 on the Turnpike, obviously, is also Kearney. I mean, again, according to previous census data, and again, we don't know what's going to come up of what happened last year, but Mr. Mayor, you know, we're talking about a population of over 41,000 people. That's a lot of people, right? In what you think is a small town in Hudson County, but that's a lot of people
right there,
Mr. Mayor.
And that 41,000 is concentrated in the residential area, which is all west of the Turnpike. And many neighborhoods have that suburban feel. But there are also many neighborhoods in Kearney that are multifamily housing, which have more of a traditional urban feel. So Kearney has both sides of that equation in terms of housing stock. And it's all concentrated on West Turnpike. So we're close to the town of Harrison. We're opposite downtown Newark and just south of North Arlington and, you know, across the bridge from Belleville. And geographically, we're much closer to those areas than we are to, say, Journal Square. Now, east of the Turnpike, you have a large meadows area. A lot of it was filled in years ago, some of it with landfills, some of it with industrial areas. And then you get to South Kearney, which is on the far southeast corner, which is just opposite the west side of Jersey City, off of Truck Route 1 and 9. And that was the historical industrial area of the town of Kearney. It was the second largest shipbuilding facility in the country at one point. Most ships launched during World War II, right into the Hackensack. And also, you know, Western Electric, when we had landlines that were screwed into your wall, those phones were made in South Kearney. And other assorted heavy industries in South Kearney as well. And a lot of that was transformed when the economy changed in the 70s, 80s, and 90s into warehousing distribution, which is now very successful with the new economy. It's never been as successful as it's been now. But there's also another transformative aspect of South Kearney going on, and that's the old shipyard sites, those very large hangar-like buildings. They're starting to be converted, and the initial conversions were very successful. COVID has slowed down a bit, but it's still ongoing, converting those buildings into office space for small and medium-sized businesses, many of them based on internet retail or even, you know, YouTube TV hosts. There's studios of very successful YouTube shows that have taken shop in South Kearney. Hulu is filming a couple of their series in South Kearney, in those houses. Netflix. So it is beginning to create a new identity as this economy turns again into this, you know, what will be post-pandemic and most things done remotely. You could be anywhere and film a movie. South Kearney is starting to create yet another chapter in its storied history with the town of Kearney.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Mr. Mayor. And it's great to see a municipality, especially here in Hudson County. I'm a lifelong native myself, grew up in West New York, living in the city now. And, you know, I'm sort of spoiled because I'm spoiled by a great mayor. I know your residents are spoiled by you because you've been an excellent public service for almost 20 years now. There in your municipality. So A lot of great mayors, and I think without a doubt, I think probably more than other counties in the city of New Jersey, I think we're very, very fortunate. Let me ask you this, Mr. Mayor. There was a story that came out on the Star Ledger, NJ.com, a couple weeks ago, some alarming news where the average property tax bill now in New Jersey has gone up from $8,953 to now an average of $9,112. So, you know, it's something that I rail about on this program all the time. My bosses at Insider NJ sometimes get on me for just beating the drums on this because really no other journalist is doing this. It's just becoming so expensive to live here, Mr. Mayor, not just in New Jersey, but even Hudson County. As a mayor in a really large municipality, what can you share with our listeners today about, you know, sort of the process that goes into, you know, deliberating and evaluating, okay, well, this is what property taxes are going to be for the next fiscal year. Like, you know, how complicated is that process for you to sit there with the city council and to come up with a number that isn't suffocating residents, right? Even before COVID, right? Because during COVID, people are facing the crunch, but even before COVID, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, and property taxes are very high. The statewide number that you just said in Kearney, Kearney is the fourth highest of the 12 municipalities in Hudson County. We median out at about $10,100. There are neighboring municipalities, like I said, we're in the far west. There are neighboring municipalities that are higher than we are, you know, Bloomfield, Belleville, Harrison, for example. But it is a issue that has ever since I remember as a child and the state income tax was promised by Brendan Byrne when he ran for governor. I was in grade school, and that's when I first got it sort of tuned into politics and try to understand what it means. Property taxes have just bedeviled and been sort of this really onerous cost for residents of the state of New Jersey and the town. It's because of how we fund services. And there's a very good argument that you know, there are a lot of services provided, governmental services in New Jersey, but maybe you don't need all those services. But, you know, we cut back health departments pre-pandemic and look what that got us. And half of my municipal budget, once you add up labor, pension costs, health insurance costs, half of my municipal budget goes to police and fire, first responders. And it's an essential service for my community. I mean, we're to maintain, our community as a safe community, both in terms of crime and in terms of hazards, not only fires, but chemical leaks in South Kearney that occur from time to time, as recently as a year ago. Those services are critical. So you start off from the fact that half the budget is police and fire. And then you have other items of the budget that you really can't change. Like every Passaic Valley Sewage Commission charges you an annual bill to the municipality for usage of the sewers. And Kearney, that's $4.5 million a year. That may only be like 5 or 6% of the whole budget, but you start to have pieces like that you don't have control over, like Passaic Valley or North Jersey Water, that wholesales water to communities, the costs add up very quickly. What I do with every tax bill is I send a letter explaining where the money goes. That $10,100, the median bill for the town of Kearney, I wouldn't say it's not most, but it's about 45% of it goes to the school district. You know, that's how we fund our school district in Kearney, primarily through property tax. The municipality is only at about 35% of that total bill, and I say all the services you get. So that's the reason why we're so high. The only way we get out of this is if we diversify the sources of revenue that pay for these services. once we know these are the services we want, I think in Kearney, we know we want these services. No one's saying cut the health department, cut the police department, cut the fire department. No one is saying that. So once we know these are the services we want, then how do you diversify your sources of revenue? And you need to look at whether it's sales tax, other fees, internet sales taxes, and you know how you know the behemoths and Amazon and Facebook have essentially evaded the tax juggernaut over the last 10 years. You really need to look at how you diversify sources of revenue, because otherwise this property tax burden will continue to be something that vexes residents and frustrates people, causing some of them to leave for warmer, cheaper climes.
Well, again, Mr. Mayor, and I appreciate you taking the time to explain and really break it down for us, because at the end of the day, governing anywhere can be tedious, it can be time-consuming, it can be laborious, but it's important to really break down exactly how, you know, how multi-layered it is, right, when it comes to governing, especially, let's say, again, a municipality like Kearney is very diverse, it's very spacious, you know, you talked about a lot of the resources available to you. Again, I think at times it has to be exhausting. Is that fair to say?
It's the task could be exhausting, and then explaining it, it's not, you know, sometimes attention spans are very short, or often they're too short. And it's and the question you just asked on property taxes is not a, it's not even the 5-minute answer that I gave you. It really is a complex one, and it's hard to explain that to residents, because once they start hearing about the complexity, they feel that they're not going to get any help, and you want to help them. And certainly if you're a senior citizen, there's a senior freeze program in the state of New Jersey. You know, 65 and older, you can, from your base year, once you qualify, you will be reimbursed any increases going forward. There are veterans deductions and benefits as well. If you're a veteran, please go to your local tax collector's office and inform yourself of what you can apply for if you haven't applied yet. But for most residents, this will be a continuing burden.
It certainly will be. It certainly will be. And Mr. Mayor, it's interesting, you know, you brought up Brendan Byrne, and let me just, you know, we'll get back to sort of the landscape of Kearney economics and everything in a moment, but I really want to pick your brain politically, Mr. Mayor. I always like talking to you about these things. And, you know, you referenced Brendan Byrne, and, you know, I'm a history teacher, so I love history. You know, Brendan Byrne has a distinction of being the last incumbent Democrat governor to get reelected. I mean, it's that long ago. I mean, it's before my time of how long it's been since the Democrats have been reelected as governor in New Jersey. Governor Murphy faces that task. You know, apparently history's not on its side. I think there's, even with a 60%, around there, 60%, 61% approval rating, you know, there are pockets of the state that I think the governor is a little vulnerable. He still has a lot of favorables per se. You know, at the onset of the pandemic, I think it's, we can both agree that he took steps that I think were necessary to bring, you know, the curve down and to really tackle this virus. I think as we're approaching a year, there are pockets of the state, Mr. Mayor, where the governor isn't popular and he's facing some backlash, even here in Hudson County. I know that mayors and city councils and legislators alike all have their opinions. You know, how would you grade the governor in terms of, as we're approaching a year of tackling COVID right now?
You know, once you're an incumbent and you have to make decisions, it's not easy. And you will always have you know, people that disagree with you, because when you make decisions, you can't please everybody. And look, I've had my frustrations with Governor Murphy and the, you know, the Keegan landfill, which was a state-owned landfill, which operated, you know, on the one hand, we're talking about being a green economy and making changes and making sure our vulnerable communities don't take the abuse of pollution. On the other hand, you know, they're, you know, anchors away when it came to this landfill, and the state was making money off of it. And that was hugely frustrating. But I think what happens in 21 at the end of the day is who the candidates are. You know, I don't see a strong candidate on the Republican side. and where we are in this pandemic. And if, you know, if it shows that New Jersey gets ahead of this and does widely vaccinate and does so fairly, and we get through this, I think that will be a big plus for the governor. So I really think that historical, lack of precedent, in at least in recent history, I think this year, I think is thrown off by the pandemic, and that is a big variable. And I know with the businesses, there's been some pushback, but, you just look around parts of the country that didn't shut down or didn't impose restrictions, and the kind of, positivity rate and death rate they've been going through the last few months. The second wave did come to New Jersey, but I think we fared better, relatively better this time around. The first round, we were new to it, so it was a shock to the system. But so I think in fairness, you're going to make these hard decisions, and I feel for the small businesses as well. But public health is a priority. And balancing it and knowing where to draw the line, sometimes it's not an exact science. I think at the end it will be, I think the judgment will be, did we get through this come November? Did we get through this pandemic? And did we get through it in a way that was fair and treated all communities in the state fairly, north, south, poor, rich, and as we get more data on vaccinations based on racial data, household income data, or communities, you won't get exact household income data, but you'll get which communities are getting vaccinated by zip code, for example. I think those will be key pieces of this. But I think right now he's in a very good position.
Oh, I agree with you. Listen, again, he has a lot of favorables. He certainly has an approval rating a little over 60% the last time I looked. Obviously he has overwhelming party support. And at the end of the day, Mr. Mayor, the numbers are all pretty much stacked in his favor when it comes to registrations. I mean, I was looking at the last voter totals in 2020. We're looking at, 38% of registered voters in New Jersey are Democrats. 22% are Republicans, and 37% are people like me, unaffiliated. And, at the end of the day, it's about, grabbing those independents. But, the governor has that advantage, right? He has an overwhelming registration total in his favor, almost 3-1. You mentioned about the governor taking steps when it comes to the Department of Health. And you mentioned, obviously, at times you've been frustrated with the governor. I have too, Mr. Mayor. I mean, especially when it comes to nightlife and hospitality. When I was in grad school, I mean, that's a business that's near and dear to my heart. During grad school, I love bartending. I love hospitality. I have a lot of friends that still work in the industry, and they got really hit hard, even in the last few months since we've seen the virus curtail a little bit. And listen, Kearney has a lot of great places to eat at and restaurants. And, for months and months, we're seeing 10 p.m., sort of a cutoff time for indoor dining. That just seemed like it was going to be catastrophic, Mr. Mayor. I'm glad the governor sort of lifted that a little bit because it was just killing businesses.
Yes, and it's not an exact science, but keep in mind, the other side of the coin was when the second wave started, a lot of the transmissions were occurring through gatherings, not just at hospitality bars, restaurants, but also in people's homes. And that's where gatherings occur because these are social places. And as humans, we want to socialize. And that's what makes this so incredibly frustrating. So yes, you can open up later, but you really have to mind those, percentage occupancy restrictions and have good ventilation. And when you're not eating, put that mask on, because it is a higher, by going where there are other people, you're putting yourself in a risk environment to transmission or being infected. And that's just reality. So as long as the hospitality places work within the rules, I think the transmission rates stay flat or drop even further. I would think the governor would also work with the businesses and try to, where it can be done safely, do so.
Listen, I hope so. I'm with you. And I'm glad you really outlined that for us, because I'll tell you, it's been frustrating to see so many restaurants and businesses closing down because of,
yeah.
You know, let's be honest, Mr. Mayor, there are pockets of the state that look at what the governor has been doing as punitive, and it's almost a year later and we're seeing a decline in the virus. You know, again, maybe it's apples and oranges. You know, I was just in Florida, a couple months ago in December, and my God, I mean, geez, you know, it's like night and day over there. And, you know, we're seeing COVID incidents not on the rise down there. And again, you know, I hate to make a virus political. It shouldn't be. But it's amazing sometimes the optics of, you know, a blue state, red state, and sometimes how they're perceived. Is that fair to say, or is there more involved, you think?
No, I think if you look at data in the second wave of Florida, you'll see it hit hard there, too. I think if you look, California is a blue state, and they were hit tremendously hard by the second wave, but they let their guard down. And, you know, the first wave, they were ready because it hit the East Coast first, so they were ready, but they let their guard down the second wave. So I don't think that's random. I don't think I think those best practices, whether it's social distancing, mask wearing, washing your hands, they really do make a difference. They don't think, you know, I know people are tired of hearing them, but they really do make a difference. And when you're
at a gathering,
you know, all you need is one asymptomatic person in that gathering. So, and I know this happened to a group I know, a party of five having a celebratory dinner. All you needed was one asymptomatic for all of them to get it. So you really have to be careful and just because you get it, most people, you know, get through it as a bad cold or flu. But if you're that segment, if you're that, you know, one third that gets a severe case, you know, it could be life threatening. So you have to be cautious and sort of, you know, realize that there's more behind us of this pandemic than there is ahead of us. So maybe that's the way of looking at this, that most of the hurt or economic harm has already occurred. So this is the final stretch.
Absolutely.
Let's not let our guard down.
Mr. Mayor, well said there. Mr. Mayor, let me ask you this, because I know that last November, obviously, New Jerseyans told Trenton by an overwhelming margin of 67% to 33% to make recreational marijuana legalized for anyone over the age of 21. I know there are municipalities in New Jersey that did establish ordinances via their city councils or town councils, et cetera, you know, by mayors. Obviously, Trenton can't seem to get it right. And in the meantime, you know, in Kearney, it's not your fault, but in Kearney, coincidentally, at the county jail, you know, we keep incarcerating people for marijuana as the legislature keeps fumbling around trying to figure out what to do. Is Kearney one of those municipalities in Hudson County that, for example, I know Union City, Secaucus, I think Weehawken did this, where at some point they anticipated that marijuana would be legalized recreationally, but they were not going to allow dispensaries to be opened in those municipalities. Is Kearney one of them? I couldn't research it. I couldn't find anything. So I wanted to ask you, since I had you on.
Yes. I mean, there are two aspects to your question. First is the criminal aspect. I think most people, the vast majority of people, would agree that the decriminalization of marijuana, especially in small amounts, is long overdue. Now, the recreational use and where dispensaries can be set up. Yes, we're one of those communities that said, no, we'd rather not. We don't want you here. But we did it as part of our zoning code. So we could not, under legal advice, and we could not ban the use altogether. So we zoned it for an area in the industrial part of Kearney and South Kearney. You know, that, and that type of zoning is done for other types of uses where you, while you can't ban outright, you can also restrict where it goes. So that's the approach we took to make sure it's not near any residences in the town of Kearney, the residential area of Kearney, west of Turnpike. So the industrial area is east of the Turnpike. So, yeah, I would say we're on the side of the ledger that no, we don't want this as a retail business operation in the community. You know, families don't want another thing. You know, they have to worry about their kids going to an illegal IDing liquor store. They don't want to worry about the cannabis store either, or add that to the pile. So I understand that, and it's a very, you know, 9-1, I would say, in terms of commentary, was supportive of what we did in Kearney. You know, and there are other communities that want it, and think of it as a kind of as a economic justice issue, since now that you know, these are the communities that most of the criminal violations, now that to the extent it becomes a business, they're the ones that should profit from it. That's a different perspective, and I know there are many that argue for that perspective, and I've summarized it and probably didn't give it a fair explanation, but that's not a position that the community in Kearney has taken. We'd rather not see it come to town.
Now, based on that answer, it sort of prompts me to sort of ask this, because I've also had Mayor Stack on this program for Union City. He's also a state legislator in the state Senate. You know, Mayor Santos is as proud a Democrat as you'll find, but he's sort of a moderate Democrat. He's sort of like in the center a little bit, you know. I think at the end of the day, he subscribes to everything the Democratic Party embodies. I think it's fair to say you do as well. But I think he's kind of a centrist type of Democrat, where when it comes to this issue, again, and as a fellow mayor, he's concerned. He's concerned about the impact it'll have on quality of life in Union City, for example. Are you concerned as well as what this could do to Kearney? Again, I don't want to sound – because oftentimes, Mr. Mayor, let's be honest, right? Like, the conversation when it comes to marijuana tends to sort of go along the lines of a generational disconnect. You know, when I have these conversations with my parents, they're not – again, I don't really care about marijuana. I've never smoked it. I don't care to. I never will. Like, I prefer a glass of wine. But it's something that is now. It's not going away, and mayors have to deal with it. Again, a mayor like Mayor Stack, who's very emphatic about – you know, he'll respect the laws of the land. He'll respect, obviously, the vote. And he's trying to do everything he can as a legislator, but as a mayor, he understands that there's a quality of life issue that residents worry about. Do you share those concerns as well?
I do think there's a quality of life issue if there's a retail store where now you have to worry about policing to make sure that minors don't go in and, like they do with alcohol, get cannabis. The legalization of marijuana and the legislation that's being considered does not mean, you know, you can, and it's not in the same way in Nevada or Colorado, or it doesn't mean you can walk down a sidewalk and smoke pot, or it doesn't mean that you can go to a park and smoke marijuana. And it doesn't mean you can smoke in public places. It does not mean that at all. It means that you can legally purchase it and then use, consume it, smoke it, consume it, eat it, however you want to use it, in a private setting. But the fact that these retail stores will be there and what that means for, you know, what kind of example that sets for the very young people. I'm not talking about 25-year-olds. They can make their own decision. I'm talking about 14-year-olds or 15-year-olds. That's where the concern is for the community. So I agree with Mayor Stack. It is a concern.
Now, listen, I'm with you, and I think at the end of the day, it's about optics, right? I mean, the last thing you want is, you know, whether it's adults or more importantly, minors, beaten out in the open. I mean, there's a reason why this isn't Vegas, Mr. Mayor, right? Where you just can't be drinking in public, walking down the main boulevard drinking, right? I mean, there's a quality of life issue. There's, you know, it's so densely populated here. We're near schools. It's residential. I mean, obviously, again, you know, some people might say, Fernando, you're starting to sound like your parents. No, I'm starting to sound like a rational person that know that optics matter, Mr. Mayor. Is that fair to say?
It does. So if it becomes more readily available, even though the point you're making, even though it's not legal to smoke in a sidewalk or a park, neither is alcohol, but yet there's some people that do it. I think that becomes more of a concern. That's right. But I'm old enough to, and I was a Catholic high school kid, so I had to take a New Jersey Transit bus. You know, I'm old enough to know when back in the 70s where, you know, marijuana was smoked in the back of a New Jersey Transit bus and no one did anything about it. It was just a, you know, that was a problem. That was a big problem. And certainly, you know, we have to do this in a way that doesn't, you know, harm our communities or expose, you know, ultimately when you're an adult, you make your own decisions. But when, if you're a minor and depending on what you're exposed to, it could have an impact on, you know, how you may, and the choices you make as you get older. So, and I speak from experience, and we all do, and we all know people who were growing up in high school who had these issues. It is a concern. It has to be very carefully managed. It's not just, you know, pot is harmless. You could say, you know, alcohol is not harmless either. It has to be carefully managed. Otherwise, we can do some lasting damage here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Listen, you're absolutely right on that. Mr. Mayor, before I let you go, I know you've had a busy day, and obviously I appreciate you taking a few minutes of your time to join us for the show today. A problem that's still resonating in Hudson County, you know, east of you, obviously where I live, Union City, West New York, Guttenberg, North Bergen, Weehawken, you know, a concern for residents is development. And, you know, again, I have not frequented Kearney lately, but it would seem that Kearney has not been bitten by that development bug like the eastern part of the county has, where it's pricing people out and lifelong residents that have been living here are either seeing, again, as I mentioned about the rise in property taxes, rents are becoming a little bit, you know, unbearable. You know, is Kearney becoming that attractive destination now for, let's say, residents who say, you know what, it's getting too expensive near the river, looking at Manhattan, let's move a little more west, where it could still be residential, but still also affordable and still accessible to New York City, Hoboken, whatever. Is that what Kearney still brings in 2021, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, relatively speaking, it's much more affordable than, and there has been some housing developments that, you know, the sort of the developments that provide all the services, the gym, the pool, the fire pit, you know, the zip car, the app for everything. There has been some of that development, but at rent levels that the average Kearney resident can't afford. But and there has been appreciation in rent levels in the last 5 years in Kearney, but to a large degree, most of the residential housing stock remains affordable. It's not as affordable as it was 5 years ago. So there are some stresses, but you know, that dreaded word gentrification, I don't think we're seeing that, in my community. But it is expensive. You know, the cost of living has gone up and housing is part of that. You know, they, as part of this new CARES Act, round of funding, there's going to be additional assistance for renters. Part of the problem with the last round was that the application process was too cumbersome or required backup that many of these working class families and working class landlords did not have or did not want to provide. It's a hard issue, but yeah, fortunately for us, we've not experienced it at the same level as other communities in Hudson County have.
Well, that's great to hear. And again, from the times I've visited Kearney, it's a great community, great bakeries, by the way. Again, I don't want to sort of ostracize other towns in Hudson County, but man, Kearney's got some really good bakeries, Mr. Mayor. Am I wrong?
By far the best bakeries. And I have a sweet tooth, so I go to pretty much all of them. And I could tell you the difference between a custard cup from Teixeira's versus Arco's versus Vincente's versus Domingo's, and I could eat them all. And they're really, and I'm missing others in the mix there. Really good authentic coffee. You know, if you want authentic espresso coffee, then you go to those bakeries, and it's like half the price of your, you know, chain brand coffee. And if you want, some really fresh bread and pastry, there's quite a number of them on Kearny Avenue. And that is something that, and they turn into social sites pre-COVID. They were also, you know, traditional, you know, European coffee shop social settings where people just spent time and with each other and friends and family and others in the community, you know, meeting others in the community. Because they're really sociable, social places. Unfortunately, I'm hoping, you know, those are one of the things, in addition to the bars and the restaurants, Fernando, we also need those coffee shops back.
Absolutely. And they're a great destination in Kearny, for sure. Mr. Mayor, obviously the Hudson County Jail is in Kearny. I know at the end of last year, not to get overly political with you, but a friend of the show, a guy who I highly respect, Tom DeGees, the county executive, he faced a lot of backlash, and I would argue a lot of unnecessary vitriol by what I would argue were a lot of the, like, local progressive groups or kind of, like, very far-left people that were sort of vilifying the county executive about the renewal of the ICE contract. You're the mayor of Kearny. I know it may not necessarily affect you per se, but I know you're friends with Tom DeGees. I respect him a lot, you know. Some of these adjectives being thrown at Mr. DeGees, I think were fundamentally unfair. They're calling him a racist, a bigot. I think it was atrocious behavior. People were demonstrating against Mr. DeGees. And I know that, you know, the county jail in Kearny was under the microscope for some time. You know, when you saw that on social media or in print media, how did you feel when you saw this unfair vitriol levied at County Executive Tom DeGees, who, let's be honest, the last thing you could ever call Tom DeGees is a racist. Because he's not, and I took some vitriol online for defending him. I got vilified on Twitter for coming to his defense. You know, yeah. When you saw that, you know, what do you think of that whole situation there?
I was revolted by it, and the hatred and the anger that was expressed, and then some of the actions that were taken, protests outside of his home. You know, it's. We're allowed to disagree, but if someone disagrees with you, it doesn't, you know, it means that that person disagrees with you. It doesn't mean that person's a racist or hateful of immigrants or needs to be personally attacked. And personal attacks should not enter. And it really scares away a lot of good people from politics. And, you know, and I think we're fortunate to have Tom DeGees, county executive, not just because he's friend, but because I think he's done a really good job. And I have to say this, I was one of the ones that disagreed with him in the early stages when we were talking about 287G, because they were doing the ICE was doing roundups of workplaces in South Kearny for no other reason other than let me check your papers. And in some cases, employees, women, several women in one workplace would work there for years. And those people were then being detained. So I, you know, there were some extreme actions that were just flat out wrong, and we shouldn't go along with them at any level. But when you take that out of the equation, unfortunately that's now taken out of the equation. And you're left with undocumented persons who have committed some serious crimes. They may have served their criminal sentence already, but, you know, if you're not documented and you're in this country and you commit a serious crime, I think you should be free. And I think most people agree with that. And so, you know, not everyone is, you know, the one who had one single minor infraction now held, you know, that was past administration. And that, now we're talking about some, you know, some serious criminal offenses that have been committed. So, you know, these people, just like, you know, not everybody gets out on bail reform. You know, there are still some pretty bad people that have to be held. And I think,
sure, yeah,
I think that has to enter the equation. And that group, that far progressive group, won't even consider that. And then when they won't even take that very basic point and accept that very basic point, it's very hard to reason or have a discussion with them. So it would be, I think we're safer as a community by having those that committed serious criminal offenses detained.
Mr. Mayor, I think you said it beautifully, and I'm glad that we're on the same page on it for sure. Before I let you go, obviously, even with the challenges of COVID, what can we expect out of the city of Kearney in 2021? What are some big projects coming up, again, that despite the challenges that the pandemic are bringing, that you and the city council are working towards in this year?
So the main facility for the health department, we had been planning this before the pandemic hit. And once the pandemic hit, we realized we needed to accelerate it. It's being completely renovated into a state of the art health facility, including vaccination rooms and public education rooms. And that should be ready by the end of April. That's a project that, as vaccinations continue through the late spring and summer, I think that facility is at the center of town. That will be a very important piece. We'll also continue renovating some of our recreational fields. The backfield at Harvey Field is one of those that needs to be renovated. But the basic stuff, you know, the infrastructure, the road repavings, the things that you want to get done to, especially after a harsh winter like this one, to maintain quality of life. And then the exciting stuff is what I said earlier, the transformative changes occurring in South Kearney. I want to see those, you know, they're kind of still moving along, but at a slower pace because of the pandemic. I want to see those pick up again and be part of that. It, to see more studio sets, more small e-businesses, create a whole new community or grow a new community that's now in South Kearney. So it's that's very exciting as well. So I hope you'll hear about Kearney and South Kearney and the transformation that's going on there as more exciting new tenants move in.
Mr. Mayor, we'll certainly have you back on this year to. In terms of an update and to find out what's going on in Kearney, obviously, you're always a great guest. Before I let you go, this is the part of the show where I give my guests the floor because I've been the one asking questions. I've enjoyed our dialogue. I know you've been on multiple times with me on my podcast, and I always enjoy our conversations. But, Mr. Mayor, the floor is yours. You got a question for me. You need to pick my brain. I don't know. Just whatever's on your mind, the floor is yours, sir. What do you got for me?
That's a after all, you know, all my years as being mayor, one of the things that still sort of presents its challenges every year is what we're dealing with today, snowstorms and snow removal, snow plowing, when to tow, when not to tow, when to go to the curb, when to remove. It's not a perfect science. Residents are frustrated, especially when they circle at night and they can't park. It's also not cheap to remove snow. I mean, that costs, you know, you have to rent trucks, you have to rent drivers. It's the existing staff at your DPW can't manage a full-blown snow removal operation. So it's even though, you know, after talking about all these like lofty political things and the worries of the pandemic, you know, snow removal, that still is sort of, you know, a challenge for mayors everywhere. And we wish there were an easier way. We wish there was a magical melter. There isn't. We wish there was a magical snowblower. There isn't. I've seen those videos on YouTube and Facebook. There isn't. Or snow cutter. Yeah, there is, but you know they don't tell you about all the worker injuries associated with that snow cutter. So there's no magical solution. You know, just please be patient and try to work with us.
Well, Mr. Mayor, again, keep up the great work. We'll certainly have you on later in the spring in terms of getting an update. I want to hear, obviously, what's going on with COVID in your municipality, as I like to inquire with other mayors. And you're always a gentleman. I'm glad you take the time to speak with me on this program. You're a great guest. I'm glad you're a fan of the show and that you continue to come on and believe in this brand here of media that I'm providing. And again, I can't thank you enough, Mr. Mayor, for being a fan of the show.
Yep. Thank you very much. Keep us honest. Keep asking those questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Stay healthy. I'll talk to you soon. Take care. Thank you. Folks, what a great episode today with Carney Mayor, Al Santos, and certainly a guy that has had some longevity in New Jersey politics, obviously as the mayor of one of the bigger municipalities in Upton County here, as we talked about during the show. You know, we're talking about a municipality of over 41,000 people and growing, obviously. A point he made there about the fact that Carney's becoming an attractive destination for those that live in the eastern part of the county, right near Manhattan, obviously overlooking the view of Manhattan like I do, where rents are becoming progressively higher, and certainly property taxes obviously are high. And Carney is becoming that destination for people to say, hey, listen, I'm still in Hudson County. It's a little west of where I'm used to, whether it be North Bergen, West New York, Eden City, Weehawken, Guttenberg, Secaucus, right, Hoboken. But guess what? It's very family-oriented, a lot of great local businesses there, very competent government there in terms of the mayor and the council. So it's good to talk to him today, and I'm glad that he was able to take a few minutes of his time to talk with me today and have those conversations that a lot of elected officials don't like to do, but luckily, like every other mayor in Hudson County, they like coming on my podcast and talking with me about what's going on in politics and what's going on with governing, because for a lot of you out there, you're not really familiar with how governing works. It's good to have a mayor on the program here this week, and certainly he is always a delightful guest and very informative as well. So he's so well-spoken, the mayor is, and he's very thorough and concise when it comes to explaining the aspects of governing and really what goes into this municipality, which, again, folks, people tend to forget. It's in Hudson County. It is Carney, New Jersey, so it's definitely worth visiting and definitely worth living in, especially when you have public servants like Al Santos there in that city. Folks, listen. That's our show for this week here. If you certainly be missing any part of the broadcast, you can check out www.insiderng.com/podcasts. You can obviously listen to today's episode with Carney Mayor Al Santos and obviously previous guests, which have included Insider NJ columnist Alan Steinberg, certainly gubernatorial candidate Brian Levine, tap into .net columnist Al Sullivan, obviously gubernatorial candidate Jack Chiarelli, and many, many more. Again, check them out there. They're free. Free to listen to and download them and listen to them anywhere, anytime from any PC, Mac, smartphone, or tablet. www.insidernj.com/podcast. So definitely do check that out when time permits. Again, a little snow still coming down this week. If you're home, snowed in, hey, take a listen. I promise you won't be disappointed. Folks, if you have any questions or suggestions for guests or topics coming up, write to the show, politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. Don't forget to follow the show on Instagram at PoliticallyDirectNJ, and of course my own Instagram at Professor Fernando Uribe. Also hit me up, folks, on Twitter at NoFilterUribe. That's at NoFilterURIBE. Don't forget to like Politically Direct on Facebook. Obviously 1,000 likes and counting on Facebook. Certainly I know a lot of you enjoy the social media aspects of the podcast. Hey, whether it's brand new followers, tons of new likes, comments, whatever it is, I do appreciate it. More than you know when it comes to your support of Politically Direct here via Insider NJ. Speaking of Insider NJ, folks, please go to their website, www.insidernj.com/, again, podcast for episodes, but the main page, www.insidernj.com, for the best coverage of the political scene anywhere in the state of New Jersey. It's always brought to you by Insider NJ. upper right-hand corner, click on the subscribe button, and you'll be automatically enrolled in the Morning Intelligence Briefing. Hey, exceptional columns. I start off with our editor-in-chief, Max Pizarro, great journalist, magnificent writer. Don't always care for his views and opinions, but again, I know he doesn't care for mine either, but we can agree or disagree and respect each other, obviously, as fellow journalists, but great work by him. Obviously, I have a great team that I work with, whether it includes columnists such as Fred Snowflack, Alan Steinberg, who drives me crazy, Jay Lasser, who definitely drives me crazy sometimes, and others. Folks, you won't get it any better in terms of coverage of what's going on in New Jersey, what's going on in politics, especially this year, where there's a gubernatorial election, all 120 legislative seats are up for grabs, and politics is on the radar here in the Garden State, and nobody brings it to you better than Insider NJ, www.insidernj.com. Don't forget to like them on Facebook, and of course, follow them on Twitter. Don't forget to start and end your day with Insider NJ. Folks, that's our show for this week here. Appreciate you listening to it. Obviously, check out, obviously, not just today's episode, but previous editions of Politically Direct via www.insidernj.com/podcasts, plural podcasts. You won't be disappointed with the quality of not just my guests, but obviously the conversations I have every single week with them and contributing to a very positive and very constructive dialogue. So again, check it out when you can. And never forget, ladies and gentlemen, it's real. It's here. It is Politically Direct. All right. Have a good night. Have a good afternoon. Have a great weekend. Kearny, New Jersey, all the good people out there, starting off with Mayor Al Santos, the city council there, obviously everybody. Please, folks, stay safe this weekend. If you're driving around, it's so icy on the roads, please be careful. Look after your elderly neighbors. Make sure that they have their heat. Again, take the necessary precautions. Don't forget to wear your masks. Be socially distant, folks. Be responsible. Let's take care of each other. Let's get through this here as hopefully warmer days are ahead of us and they're coming up soon. And we'll keep you up to date about what's going on in politics, obviously, folks, right here, always on Blog Talk Radio and the show. So, again, I thank you all, folks, for tuning in here. Enjoy the rest of February. Again, March is right around the corner, and looking forward to a daylight savings time in a couple of weeks. And then, obviously, warmer days are coming. So, again, let's keep our fingers crossed. So, I'll see you next week here, folks, on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, let's keep on talking.